Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
This is Accountability Partners. Welcome. Okay, here we hold each other accountable in our spiritual walk with God. In each episode, we share what it looks like to nurture our souls and mature spiritually in our everyday lives. So let's talk, let's grow, and let's step into all we were created to be, one conversation at a time. Hi, I'm Marquita.
And I'm Bianca.
And today we have something special. It's a long one, but a good one. We have writer Betty Nicole here to talk to us about studying, how we study the word, how to dive in deeper. I can't remember how I stumbled upon your videos. I don't know if it was, it might have been on YouVerse first when I read one of your devotionals, and afterwards I wanted to know more. I wanted more from you after that devotional. I think that that's how I stumbled upon you, because of the way that the devotional was written. I could feel your heart in it. It was plain. It was easy. And I wanted more. And so from that day, I just started watching your videos, and I learned a little bit about your story. And I want to start off there. And then we can get into the rest, but I really want to start there. So how did your journey into deep study and deep self-examination, your study of the word, begin? So just tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so I was reared in church for the most part. Most of my younger years were spent attending a church, and I grew up in a Pentecostal apostolic atmosphere. So it was a lot of emotionalism. It was a lot of emotions, a lot of music, a lot of preaching. Just it was that atmosphere. And for many years, you know, it was all I knew. But then as I grew older, I also had just this slight bent towards prayer, even as a young girl. And I can't tell you where it came from, but I just believed that when we pray, God will answer us. And so throughout the years, you know, I was just, you know, again, attending church, but my heart really wasn't fully dedicated to the Lord. I was serving the Lord because I didn't want to go to hell, but I didn't, you know, necessarily understand that there was a relationship piece. So it wasn't until, you know, I made a decision. I got married when I was younger, when I was around 20, 21, I got married. And, you know, I was just sort of doing my own thing. I was clubbing, I was drinking, I was just, you know, having a good old worldly time. And it wasn't until I moved to South Dakota for a short period of time. I returned home and I just started yearning to know God more and to understand him better. And although I was attending church, and again, I was having all of these experiences, I still didn't know God beyond that. I knew a few verses, but I didn't know God. So once my daughter passed away, and, you know, that this deep sense of uncertainty hit my heart, I had to untangle the theology that I was living in, meaning God's going to protect me. You know, God, if you pray, then God will prevent certain things from happening in your life. Amen. If you trust him, he'll save your marriage. He'll save your relationship. Well, I am believing this and praising God every Sunday for it, but I'm also living through a different reality. The right. reality is hard things had come into my life. My relationships were falling apart. So I had to look at what I was believing and then sort of reconcile it with what I was living through. And in that moment, I began to sort of resent uh-huh. my upbringing. I started to resent the emotionalism and the experience that I was having within the church, because once the drum stopped and once the music stopped and I returned home, I wasn't being helped. Mm-hmm. And one day my mom sent me Dr. Charles Stanley, and we had listened to him throughout the years, but you know, he had this mellow tone about himself yeah. that it doesn't seem like it's, you know, but my mom sent me a sermon from him, and it was something about the trials, how to navigate storms. And it was the first time in all of my years that I recognized, I don't know God. I felt God. I've had some experiences with God, but I didn't know God because I didn't know the God of the Bible. And I remember opening up the Word of God, and this time looking at it from a different viewpoint, instead of me inserting, you know, studying it from an eisegesis place where I'm inserting myself into Scripture. Instead, I started asking the Lord, Lord, show me what I can learn about you. I know enough about me. I'm a wretched, raggedy woman that want her will to be done. I want my will to be done. I know enough about me. So, Lord, I need to know how to live this life with a better understanding of you. And that began my journey. I went out, I bought commentary, I bought Bibles. Yeah. It had got so bad, well, so good, I should say, that I had a TV in my room at the time. Like, I got the TV up out of there. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to watch no TV. I don't want to do anything. I just need to learn about God, because I was suffering. And you, I didn't have a theology mm-hmm. for suffering. Because I didn't have a theology for suffering.
Right.
We were taught, when you go through hard things, you pray. You know, I didn't have a theology for suffering and trials, because when we experienced those things, you know, we received prayer, and we were just sort of more so focused on praising God through it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you don't have a praise for what yeah, you're going yeah. through. Right. You only have, you know, the reality. And so that's sort of where it began. It started with a hardship, with grief and with sorrow, and just a deep need to just know God better. I knew that there was something that was missing, and I wanted to know the Word of God, not so that I can teach it to others, or not so that I could even use it in the space of teaching. I had no, or writing. I had no idea.
Well, during that time, you said that you asked, you opened up, you want to see God, you want to understand him better. And I know now, when I approach the Word now, before I start to read, I say, you know, give me your eyes to see like you do and ears to hear like you do. Uh-huh. And so many people want to get into the Word but feel like it's too much or too hard to understand. So when you, that day when you said, God, I want to know you, did the scales immediately fall? And did you see, did the words illuminate for you right then and there? Did you start to read different? Because I noticed, like, when I ask and I've been intentional about letting God know that I'm seeking him through scripture, it's like, now I understand. Mm-hmm. Like, something clicked in the focus, right? Like, something's like, oh my gosh, these aren't just, like, crazy yeah. words that I don't understand. Like, what helped you make scripture more approachable to you? Because the way you even do your devotionals or you speak about it, it's so plain, it's so eloquent, it's so beautiful. And I'm like, how did you glean that? Mm-hmm. So what helped you make scripture more approachable?
Say, first and foremost, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer more times than not precede, you know, even me approaching the scripture. But two, it's me not having my own agenda.
Okay.
There is this bias that we have, and it's whereas we're going to scripture to validate something that we are already praying about or wanting to know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the scales fell immediately more so than it was God revealing to me that my agenda had been wrong. Like my posture was wrong. Mm. And I was looking for scriptures to validate what I wanted and what I wanted to believe. And in the moment when I said, Lord, I want to know you, yes. that is more so when the scales fail, because now it was not about me. It was no longer about me. And it was more so about, God, I want to know what you want me to know in this season of my life yeah. about this situation or about, you know, who you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because when you approach it already with what you want to know, it puts God in a box. So you're looking for the scripture yeah. to answer the, it's like bowling in a kid. You put up guardrails, but you don't know how far you can go. You don't let it roam because you've already tailoring the way you're trying to process scripture by your yeah. to fit your answer that you need.
Yes.
So if you don't see yes. it, you miss everything else that he's trying to show you. Oh, God,
yes.
that's good. Like, you
yes.
miss everything else. When you go in with a set thing, you know, in life, mm-hmm. it's like my perspective. It's kind of like when our perspectives need to expand as well, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
we're yes. dealing in, relationships. We're dealing in relationships, and we're living from a schema that's a schema of trauma or hurt. When you approach the relationship, that's all you see. So you don't see
yes.
the business the person's doing. You don't see how he's not doing what you think he's going to do, because you put him in a box already. And I think a lot of times we do that with God. And I don't think we realize we do that when we study the word too.
Yeah. And I think too, it was learning to wrestle with the hard chapters in scripture. For many years,
yeah.
whenever I'd get to a point where I would feel yeah. a type of way because God allowed something to happen, and you know, I wouldn't want to necessarily read it, or I sort of go through mm-hmm. it quickly because I didn't want to sit
yeah, yeah.
with the emotion of what, like, why didn't you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
that, I think, just learning to... Because that's part of reading the scripture. That's part of knowing God. It is wrestling even with, and when I say wrestle, I mean, it's you taking something that's hard. There are several instances in the Old Testament where I've just was like, Lord, why? I was just telling my mom earlier this week with Jezebel and Ahab, and how Ahab wanted this poor guy's field. And he went and told yeah. Jezebel about it. And Jezebel had this man taken out of here for his field. And I'm just like, Lord, like, why? You know, it's sometimes Moses. You
yeah.
know, when Moses got so frustrated with the people, and it's just like, now he can't go into the promised land. You know,
yeah.
it's those pieces in scripture too, that again, I'm just like, Lord, help me to understand your nature, even in the instances
yes.
where you
That's
allow
it.
Things that... In
yes.
my heart, it's just like, you know, oh, my God, why?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, too,
yeah.
to the piece that you mentioned with the devotionals. I've said this, you know, I'm very grateful that YouVersion has given me the agency to sort of write from that place, because I truly try to look at God's word, or look at look at life circumstances in light of God's word. And I think sometimes we can get so caught up in the academic side of scripture and knowing God and theology and all those things, that we miss the simple principles and the practicality of scripture. Yeah. Jesus taught birds and bees. Jesus taught in a simple and practical way. So it's like, if I can take a hard thing that I've went through, and then look at what God's word says and marry the two.
Yes.
And make it make sense for the woman or the man out there who's looking for hope, who's not looking for big words and, you know, perfect sentences, but that just looking to know that there is hope for their situation, that there is a God that hears and knows and acts on our behalf, that's behind the scenes working, even when we don't understand. If I can take that concept and package it up in a day-to-day sort of devotional style, then I feel as though I've done what God wanted me to do. So that has been my goal. And then there's been times when I've been discouraged in that, because, again, I know people say, oh, you're eloquent, and I don't always feel that way. You know, there's a lot of Ebonics that tends to flow out when I'm speaking, okay? And I don't always feel as though I am expressing myself in its highest form sometimes when I'm speaking, but I feel as though I can do that in writing.
Yes, and I think we have to learn how to pivot, and depending on what medium we're doing it in, right? Whether it's writing or we're speaking. I think that approaching it and making it make sense in how the Bible applies to our everyday lives is critical. We need that. Yes. And I was talking to my son. I just started taking this class, and I'm like, River, sometimes they ask these questions, and I'm like, what are you trying to say? And he said, I felt the same way too, Mom. He's in college. And he was like, but to me, that's not smart. They ask all these questions, and they're all these words. He said, that's not smart. What's smart is it asking it plainly so everybody, regardless of whatever, can understand it. And I think that is a smart way, you know, of how we explain things and how we make it. You don't want to isolate anyone. And I believe trying to use big theological terms and rhetoric can kind of isolate those who don't quite understand. That's why, you know, I love your approach. And it doesn't seem like not intelligent. It seems smart and wise. And, you know, it takes a lot to kind of break something down plainly. You know, that takes some understanding. Mm-hmm. That's when you know you really understand what you're talking about. You know what I mean? And it's so good. So what does your study process actually look like when you sit down with a new passage or a book of the Bible?
It starts with coffee.
Okay.
I've got to get I'm going to write that down. it's got to start with some caffeine. No, but honestly, you know, I used to have this system where I would pray first, I'd go and have my prayer time, and then I'd get up and read. But because my schedule just, you know, differs from day to day now, typically what I do is I get up in the morning, I grab a cup of coffee, I sit down, and one practice that I have incorporated over the last year or so that has been very, very helpful for me is that in the morning when I rise, I'll check my notifications just to see if there's any pressing issues that I need to respond to. But if it's not, I leave my phone in my room and I spend the time of me being downstairs making my coffee with just me and God. Yeah. So I don't have my phone. I don't have any electronics down there. And that helps me sort of set my thoughts so that I'm not thinking about all the things that I need to do. But instead, I'm a little bit more focused and honed in on what I plan to do next. And then I come upstairs to my room. I open my Bible. Sometimes if I'm in a particular chapter or if I'm ruminating on a particular verse, I will return to that verse. But sometimes I'll just go in and let's just say if something's on my heart, if I'm thinking through a passage while I'm making my coffee, I'll go upstairs and read it. Or if when I'm praying, like last night I gave an example, yesterday morning when I was praying, the passage of David being in the cave running from Saul came to my mind. So after I, you know, finished praying, I knew I need to go read that passage. So sometimes it differs, but I'll sit down with my journal in hand or some sort of way that I can take notes. I believe notes are very important because if you are sitting down expecting God to speak to you, then I believe God expects you to take notes and to listen and to glean what it is that you're picking up through scripture. I also highly encourage, and this is something that I've done throughout my life, is always follow the reference passages. Mm-hmm. If you have a Bible that has reference passages at the end of that verse, always follow that map, because there are times when God may be leading you to read a verse, and when you read that verse, it'll lead you to something else, and then as you begin to read the context of that, God will speak to you concerning something. There has been times where I have been praying about a situation, a pressing issue. Just last week, there was something that was on my heart and on my mind. And I was praying fervently about it, praying, Lord, please speak to me about this situation. Lord, I don't know what to do. Why is this happening? And every time I read the verse, the scripture, I was going in scripture, I was being led somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then one day I was listening to the radio and I heard a pastor talking about how you've got to be very careful. And this is my first time talking about this, and I'll probably talk about it a little bit later. But I heard a pastor talking about how in our quest to know God better and to understand life through other people's experiences, we've got to be very careful that we are not looking more to other people's experiences through by reading books and reading all this literature, that we begin to look to that more than we're looking to scripture.
Yeah.
And in that very moment, is as if the Lord spoke to my heart, and I immediately went to Psalm 32:8. Mm-hmm. I will lead you and guide and instruct you with my eye upon you. I knew, you know, God was revealing to me that I was starting to pick up the books more than I was picking up this book.
Exactly.
So I'm praying and seeking the Lord to answer a prayer. But this is what I learned. God will never bypass an area that he has his finger on to give you an answer to soothe you.
Yes.
If there's something he's trying to get to you through his word, he's going to focus on that area before he ease the angst of what you're praying and believing him for.
That's right.
And so that's just one example. So my approach is always, first and foremost, prayer, but then it is also to just thinking through, Lord, where are you leading me? Sometimes I'll just sit down and open the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's no method to it. Wherever my eyes land, I'll start reading that chapter in its context. And if something leaps out, you know, I'll kind of
stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it doesn't, I just keep reading. Yeah.
I want to go back really quickly, and this is for me. I always like to know. There's a few things. One thing that I realized I was struggling with last night and a little this morning was, and that I've been praying about, is finding the words to pray. Sometimes I feel like I'm too elementary in it. Like I don't go to the depth, or that it's not reaching the heavens. It's just like reaching my ceiling, you know? And I feel like, pray about this. And I'm like, okay, what do I say? You know, I'm trying to find the word. And so sometimes I don't know what to do in that. And so I've been asking God to increase my spiritual vocabulary and give me more words to say and to utter to him about whatever it is that I'm praying about, because it feels very like rote a little bit and not like to the heart of it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a whole bunch of words, but I just feel like I'm grasping for something, especially when I wake up in the morning and do my first prayer. It feels like it's just the same thing. And I'm like, how do I break through? And so sometimes I have to pray in the spirit for a while to kind of lubricate my spirit, you know? And so I'll sit and I'll pray in the spirit for a while, and then things will start opening up. So I'm curious to know, if you don't mind sharing with me or us, when you pray, what does that sound like? And when he answers, how do you know that he's moving you to how he's answering you? I think we always ask that of people, kind of just to confirm that, yeah, I heard you. I heard him too. Or I might hear, not to say it has to be the same for everybody, but we need that kind of confirmation from other people. Like, what does it sound like to you when he's speaking to you? And what do your prayers sound like to him when you're talking to him?
It's a really loaded question.
I know it is.
No, but it's a very good, it's a very good question, because I think that is a disconnect in many believers' lives. Mm-hmm. Whereas they're hearing that we ought to pray and that we ought to be seeking the Lord. But what does that look like?
Yeah.
You know, there's a disconnect in the practicality of it. And I believe that the seasons where I have experienced the mundane or the routine of me just kneeling down, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord, you are, and just saying what I know to say, but there really wasn't a connection. Most times it's because there is something that I really want to pray about. There's something that I could be disappointed in. Mm-hmm. There's a prayer request that I've had up before the Lord that I've been talking to the Lord about, but I've not really said in prayer what I want to say. Mm-hmm. I've said what I think is the best thing to say, or what I believe God would want me to say, but I've not said, Lord, what it really is that's churning in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And three, I think it is the confusion of thinking that there needs to be this language in order for you to, for God to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
In every instance in scripture, I was just reading John 17 today, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there is this sacredness, yet there is this transparency that is present. And it's not in the big words and the long, but it is in you connect with God when you're honest with God.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a lack of honesty there, because you're getting down and you're saying, Lord, you know, I need you to help me with this. Or Lord, I need you to answer this question. But there's something else that is underneath. There's another layer that is underneath there that you are unwilling to talk about, because most times it will lead you to confront something else that you've buried or that you tucked away, and to be honest about that, to say, God, I'm disappointed in this, or Lord, I don't understand why you allowed this. Lord, this really hurt me. You could have did this. I don't know why you didn't. Instead of speaking from that place, we talk Christian eat, Lord, you are good and you're going to do good, and we don't mean it.
Yeah.
A prayer that connects with God is a prayer that you mean.
Yeah.
And if that is, you know, not orthodox, if it's all over the place, so be it. So be it. But you pray that anyway, because that's when you will connect with God. So I will say, in my life, I've experienced those seasons. I've also experienced seasons where I was so heartbroken that I didn't have prayers. But that didn't stop me from kneeling down and just simply crying.
Yeah.
Because God hears the release of tears too.
Yeah.
And amen. Sometimes you don't have the words, you don't have the language because you don't even know what you ought to pray for. Paul said in Romans 8, he said, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit of God, it makes, it groans and it moans on our behalf." Mm-hmm. And the fact that it didn't say the Spirit uses language, said he moaned, he groaned. There is a groaning an intense connection with God that you experience when you get real with God.
Yeah, that's true.
So amen. I would encourage you to ask the Lord, "Lord, is there a root in my heart? If there is something there that I've not prayed about, mm-hmm. and maybe I've prayed about it, but I sort of shifted away from it because it's too disappointing or it makes me feel too emotional. Lord, deal with that."
Yeah.
Because until you deal.
Oh, no. That I was just going to piggyback off of what you're saying. I appreciate it. Like, no, I think that, you know, as you're speaking and telling me, I'm thinking. And I think that when I go into prayer recently, oh, God, I've been thinking that he hasn't answered me on this particular thing. Like, I can see him move on other things. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, every time I approach prayer, that same thing comes up. What am I supposed to be doing? Where you want me to go? Why hasn't this come? What is going to be this? Like, the same thing. And I'm like, why haven't you answered? So I'm wondering if there's some resentment or some unbelief that's growing because that prayer hasn't been answered, or I feel like he's gone mute on that. And then if that is in the way of my heart really opening and that ease coming when I sit down, and then am I then trying not to ask that again? You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm like asking the same thing over and over again. And then if I'm not trying to do that, it's still there, right? So my heart isn't opening up the way that I feel like it should, because I'm like, but you haven't answered this and I still don't know what to do here. Or maybe you have and I just don't see it. So I'm like, I don't want to sit down and every time I'm sitting down praying, I'm praying about this same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm praying about
this same thing. So let me ask you this. What is it that you're looking to see in order for you to believe that he's answering that prayer? Like, what is your expectation? Because there could be a expectation that is there that you've not, that's disconnecting you. It doesn't make sense.
I know what you're saying.
So what is it that you want? Like,
what's the natural benchmark? What would I need to see to know that he's answering me?
Yes.
And even in his silence, how can I see that that's an answer as well?
Yes.
So I'm just going to just be candid about it. I just feel like I need some direction about what he wants me to do career-wise, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm transitioning and doing some other things. And I got a lot of things going on. But I don't know if because things have changed for me so much that I'm looking for it to look like it did in the past. And that's why I can't see that he's answering me now. Because I don't feel like I have 100% clarity on what he wants me to do. And so I feel like I've just been asking him, what do you want me to do? And that Psalm 32:8 is, I've been meditating on that as well, right? I will instruct you, I will lead you. And I'm like, but I don't know if you're leading me. I don't know if you're guiding me. I don't know, because I still don't have clarity on what you want me to do with my gifts.
I would encourage you to change that thought to a prayer. And instead of thinking through, Lord, I don't know if this is what you're leading me. I don't know. Instead, let that be, Lord, help me to see that you are revealing, that you are leading me. Lord, show me the moments in which you're revealing that purpose to me. Because the reality is, God leads us when we do the next right thing. And a lot of times you don't know that where you are. When we look at scripture, we get to read scripture from the end to the beginning. But when they were living that out, when Joseph was being betrayed, he didn't know what God was going to do. He just did the next right thing. Lord, what can I do in this place today to honor you, to glorify you, and to get through this day? Lord, what can I do this day? And he did that every single day. The Bible says his heart was right toward God. He did what was right. So I would encourage you, Lord, when I rise in the morning, Lord, show me how I can honor you, Lord. Show me how I can help me to see that you are leading me and guiding me, even in the moments when I don't recognize it.
Yeah.
So all of the thoughts and the questions that you have, turn them into prayers.
Yes, that's a good
thing. And let that be continuous. You. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. Thank you. That's good. Also, just now as you're talking, I see where the trappings of the world have gotten in the way of me releasing it all to God, too. Because in that, and I say that because in that, it's kind of like he is really trying to get me to depend on him and not worry about finances, provision, all of those things. Can I really believe that if I let go of thinking about how am I going to do X, Y, and Z, that he's really going to show me how to do X, Y, and Z? Right? And so that concern blocks the surrender. And that is also blocking my prayer. You know what I mean?
Because that is a root of unbelief.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's and the beauty in that is that you recognize it.
Yeah.
And that you are aware. God, I trust you, but I don't trust you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And that requires a level of faith that is supernatural.
Yeah.
It's not something that you can mend and piece together in your limited thinking. Right. It's going to require the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to work in your heart and your mind in such a way that you release it and you let it go. So often, and I need to answer the question about how do we know when God is speaking to us? And I keep that with me, so I will answer that. But I'm always asked, you know, how do you surrender? Mm-hmm. How do you let go of the concerns and the fear and the worries that you have in regards to said circumstance? Mm-hmm. And what people are looking for is a two-step or a three-step process, because our mind works better when we know, okay, if I do A, then B will happen, and then C. Like, God wired us that way.
Yeah.
He wired us that way. But that is how we live in our flesh. And when we come into the kingdom of God, we are new creatures. And now there is this codependency. There is this reliance that we have on God. And God, he teaches us to trust him through trials, through seasons when we don't know how we're going to make ends meet. When we don't, like, that is our testing season. That is the season in which we get to see God. Because you know one question that I was asking in the beginning? Lord, I want to know you better.
Yeah.
I want to know and understand your word better.
Yes.
How do we know and understand something except we go through it?
Yeah.
So if I'm saying, God, I want to trust you in a different way, then, okay, I'm going to allow your finances to dwindle. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna need to depend on me to pay your bills, to put food on your table. And is that an answer prayer? Absolutely. Yeah. We think the answer prayer is only when there is provision and there's promotion.
Yeah.
But the answer prayer sometimes come when there is a famine.
Yeah, that's right.
When there's hard times, when you're being instructed, you go to this widow. Lord, but I don't know. Is this really you? How can I know that it's you leading me, Lord? I don't know. Go.
Yeah.
Then when you get there, this woman's like, look, I'm barely making it myself. And I just wrote a 30-day devotional that will be released in November maybe. But these are some of the concepts that I talk through each day. How to trust God to reset your joy and your trust in Him when you don't know and you don't understand.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's looking at how God has worked time and time again in His children's life. And the Bible says that His seed has never been forsaken, nor have they ever needed to beg for bread.
That's right.
Needed to beg. And when we go to that place of pleading, oh God, how are you going to, and I've been there and I go there several times, you know, but then when I get done crying and pleading my case with God, I get up, nothing's changed. But when I go in faith and I say, God, I don't know what the plan and the purpose you have for my life. Lord, I don't know what it is that you are wanting to do with me, but if you can help me to live in a faith that will get me through the day with me not necessarily worrying about this, that, and this, but just help me to get through the day, as you keep making those strides forward, you will come into your purpose. You will, someone told me once that preparedness and opportunity always collides.
Yeah.
So if you prepare your heart to know God better and know His word, the opportunity to
take care of it.
To know what it is, He's going to take care of it.
He's going to take care of it. I was just thinking too, the other day, it came to me. I was like, oh, goodness. In the past, I've always wanted to know the outcome first, and then I'll walk to it. I said, but now you have me walking to it by faith, and then the outcome will go. But I think that's how a lot of us get caught up too in like new agey things that are not of Him, you know, going because we want to know the future. We want to know what it is, right? And, you know, going to mediums and like all these other things, right? We want to know the outcome and then we'll walk the steps. But when you come to the place where you serve God and you are really dependent on Him and you realize the interdependency of that relationship, you walk and then you see. You don't see first and then you walk.
Yes.
You walk and then you see.
I was going to say, I think the need to know too, I think that there has been heavy emphasis on, tarot cards and mediums and all of those things. But I think that believers are also being deceived by prophecy, prophets and those who they believe. Yep. I mean, I think that is the same.
Dial up prophets.
Yeah, that's the same angst.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I could tell you so many stories when in my early, in, like just me and my sister going from church to church to prophet, sowing seeds, giving money.
It's just the religious version of that. That's it.
Really, and the thing is that God has never called us to know anything outside of Him.
That's right.
He's called us to trust.
Yep, that's right.
He's called us to trust. The knowing is knowing that our confidence is in Him and that He's going to be faithful. But the trust has always needed to be in God.
Yep, yep. And the lack of trust,
again,
it creates the resistance.
Throughout.
That's the crazy part. We don't realize that us not trusting is what's keeping us in a knot, making us feel bad, right? It's not the not knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need faith to trust God.
That's right.
And I will tell you, I remember I was in this cycle and I would, get to a place where I would be like, Lord, I'm trusting you and I know things are going to be good. I'm good. And then the minute I'd see something, I'd fall right back into this cycle of just feeling like, oh, my God, woe is me. Why am I here? You know, nothing. Yeah. I just kept remaining in this cycle. And one day I was just like, Lord, I'm reading your word. I'm grabbing a hold to your word. I'm believing your word. Why is it that I keep going back to this mental cycle of gymnastics of me being on this hamster wheel of anxiety and just all of these thoughts of trying to understand things? And I believe in that moment, the Lord impressed on my heart that you need faith to trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, we think that trust is an act of our human nature.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
It requires faith. That requires a God downloading
mm-hmm.
his spirit and his word into us so that we can trust him. And I said, Lord, give me the faith to let
That's
go.
Right.
Lord, give me the faith to trust you. And Lord, increase my faith in the areas where it's lacking.
Yeah, that's right.
And when I depended on God in that moment, I was delivered.
Mm.
And that deliverance came. But then, of course, you know, there were times when things would try to creep back in, but I had to continually practice, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith so that I can trust you.
Yeah.
And so there is an element of faith there. And I'd say, you know, to those who are listening and to you the same, if you want to know if God is speaking to you, first
yes.
and foremost, we know the most common thing that has been said, God will never contradict his word.
Yeah, but what
I
does
also
that mean
believe,
for people? Don't, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, you know, it. I know that can be still, I think for me, in the moments when I've knew and understood that God was speaking to me, was in the moments when most times, first and foremost, I'd read a scripture and there would be a peace that would come over my heart. Or
mm-hmm.
if I'm praying
mm-hmm.
and a verse will come to my heart, or if I'm looking to make a decision and I sense, just make the decision. I sense it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a knowing. It's an unction. The Bible
yeah.
talks about an unction.
Unction. Mm-hmm.
There is an unction in you that says, here is the way. Walk therein. Go this way.
Yeah.
It's a deep sense. And again, I wish there was a way that I could explain it more.
What's so crazy is that you explaining us talking about it right now and you explaining
mm-hmm.
it to me in this way. There's no language. I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it. And sometimes when I ask people, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's for you. But when you're saying it and you can't find it, I know it because I've tried to find it and I've tried to put language to it and I can't. It's just a deep knowing isn't even enough. It's like it's like second sense,
yeah.
like a second nature. So I understand what you're saying, which is confirmation to me, like, yeah, you hear me. And I think
yeah.
that being obedient when you hear, it just strengthens your ear too, right? So you hear something, you do it. Because I've had to
mm-hmm.
separate if it's me talking, if it's him talking, if it's something, you know, I've had to separate those things.
Yeah.
But because I've felt like I was making the decisions the whole time, it's hard to trust me. So I'm not trusting what he's saying. So it's a whole thing going on. You know what I mean? But now I'm like, no, I'm in a different space. I hear you and I'm going to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of
delaying. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been a time in your life where you may have sought the Lord and believe that the Lord instructed you to do a thing or go in a direction, and when you made that decision, things didn't go the way that you went?
Yeah.
Because what happens most times when we get in this place of, Lord, is this you? Is this me? Lord, is this you? Most times that's sort of connected to another instance where maybe we followed what we believe to be the voice of God.
Yeah.
And it led us to a place that we weren't expecting or didn't turn out as good. And because of that, it makes our discerning and our judgment a little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
Because now we're just like, Lord, is this truly you or is this me? And to that person, I will say this. Just because you didn't have the outcome does not mean you did not hear from God.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there are times when God may lead you to do something and you may have in your mind how you expect things to turn out, but maybe God led you there for the lesson.
Yes, yes, yep.
But then there are other times when God may or may not be leading you, and it is you.
Yep.
And then you have yielded your own results, and you've manufactured your own result.
Yep.
And now you're stuck with that. And even in that, that can still work
be your lesson.
For your good.
Yep.
It can still be good. All things work
all
together.
All things work together. He'll make it work. And then there's a subtle knowing, unction inside of me when I know I made that decision.
Yeah.
And he did. And the first thing that you said, right? There's a subtle difference. Like even if something, even if the outcome was not favorable to me, there's something in it that I know that was God. Or
yes.
Even if I do something when I'm like, man, I did that. I didn't even ask him. That was all me.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You know, too, God, whenever God is leading me to do something, it's not real loud and pushy.
Yep, that's right.
When I feel pushed, like you need to do this, you need to do, like when I feel that, I have learned that a lot of times that is me. That is me having a thought and then fear speaking up. You need to do this or you're not being obedient. You need to do this. But God, oftentimes, he leads me in moments when I don't even know that I'm being led.
Yep,
There's this example when I lived in my older home. I was just decorating my home. I had purchased these stickers to go on my steps, and it was from Joshua 1:9. And I just pulled the vinyl off and put them on my steps.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to that was I had this sign that says keys and something about prayer. And one day, like months after my daughter passed away, someone came to my home and they were looking at all of these images that I had, all the ways in which I decorated. And again, that verse stood out to them, Joshua 1:9. I'm going to read it. I had this on my steps and it reads, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. But be not afraid, nor be dismayed. Don't be discouraged, because the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. And I will never forget this individual. He shared with me. He said, Betty, God is leading you and speaking to you even in the moments when you don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
When you are searching for things to decorate your home, when you're going in the grocery store and you're picking up items, when you decide, look, I'm not going to drink Coca-Cola this week and crunch on ice because it's not good for you. I'm meddling with myself.
Yeah,
because, these moments when you are making these decisions that seem like decisions that you are coming up with yourself, is God that is leading you. And he said, you always be confident in that.
That's good.
And if there is someone, if you're listening today and you've been confused because maybe you've been looking for direction by way of some sign or some, I would challenge you to just take an account, just take a step back and look at all the times in the past where you have made a decision that may have looked insignificant. But God was behind the scenes leading you by way of his providence, by way of his guidance, that wasn't loud, that didn't, you know, necessarily give you the fireworks of, oh, this had to be God. But in retrospect,
yes,
after you've made it past that decision, once you've made it past a certain point and you've looked back and you've, wait a minute, God, you were connecting the dots.
Yeah.
So when I had a thought that I need to eat better, it's because you knew that there was some health issue.
Yes.
Lord, when I had a thought that I want to be clean, I want to be pure, it's because you knew that you were going to use me in ministry. Lord, when I was a kid and I was just praying and I just believed that I needed to pray, it's because you knew that prayer would need to precede my life because of the things that I would encounter and that I would go through. And prayer would be the only thing outside of God's word that will get me through. God's always leading us.
Always.
And for you, it may not be ministry. It may not be you standing on a platform or teaching the Bible, because that's another thing. People ask me all the time on my disciple her calls, you know, Betty, how do you know what to say when you are teaching the Bible? A lot of times I don't. It's a gift.
Yeah.
And it's not something that seminary could have taught me.
Nope.
You know, when I'm praying for people and, you know, I begin to touch on areas that they've not told me about. How do you know that? How did you develop that? I didn't.
Yeah.
I just stayed true to knowing God.
Yeah.
And God developed those things.
He opened up your gifts. Yeah. He activated you. The more he knows he can trust us, the more he'll open up in us. I do believe that.
Oh my God, I could talk to you all day. So I want to end up with this one last question.
Sure.
What would you say to someone who's hungry to grow but feels a little intimidated or unsure where to start? How can they build confidence and trust that they can understand the word? What would you say to someone who's like, where do I start? And I think that that was my last written question, but I think you kind of answered that too, right? Just go with it. It's no formula. You pray about it. You pick up the Bible and you got to get in it. You got to set the time out, right? Like you got to be in his presence.
I'd say to that person that God has already begun the work in you. The fact that you want to know him better, that's him beginning the work in you.
Yeah.
And I would just encourage you to look at the areas in your life where distraction may be present, whether that's a relationship, whether that's social media, whether that's a past trauma or an event that occurred in your life that you've not dealt with, that has you mentally bound. I would encourage you to remove all of the distractions and to prioritize what matters most to you. And if that is knowing God better, then you get you a Bible. You find ways to learn God through his word that makes sense for you.
Uh-huh.
Don't go out and buying all these fancy commentaries and all these things if that's not the way you learn.
Uh-huh.
But you understand the way that you learn and you dedicate and commit yourself to that, because the Bible says he that began a good work in you will see it to completion. God is the one that will see it to completion. And you partner with God by dedicating and committing yourself to the practice of reading the word, of prayer, of healthy community, of healthy habits, putting those things into practice. If there are things in your life that are unclean, because God is pure and the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if there are some sinful practices in your life and you're trying to know God while also shacking up, you're trying to know God while also keeping other areas in your life that you know God does not approve of, You've got to ask God to give you the faith to let those things go.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times the static in our lives that prevents us from hearing God and seeing God, because it's not just hearing God, it's seeing God.
Him.
Sometimes your vision can be stunted and blurred because of sin or because of other things in your life. You've got to ask God with everything in you to purify and to creating you a clean heart
so that you will love him more than you love whatever that thing is, so that you can love him more than you love a career path or some level of validation in this world, some estimate in this world. You got to love God more than you love those things. Yeah. And that takes intentionality. Mm-hmm. It takes commitment. But more than that, it takes the power of God.
Yeah.
And God will always hear a sincere prayer. God will always answer a sincere prayer. And God will always help a heart that is helpless enough to say, God, I need you. So that is what I would encourage you to do. To trust first and foremost, God has already begun the work. And then begin to cut out those things and the things that you don't have enough faith or enough courage to cut out. Pray and ask God to give you the strength, or ask God to let those things cut you off.
Right.
Sometimes you don't have the ability to say, I can't do this no more.
So that thing,
you
got to
ask God to turn that thing away from you.
Yeah.
So it can walk away. And then get to a place where you say, God, you know, not my will. Your will be done. I have all these plans. I had all these plans. Now, I never thought I'd be doing some of the things. And you all may not have guessed that you'd be sitting here asking to know God better. Because maybe a few years ago, you may have been climbing another ladder. But here you are today, you know?
Yeah.
God knows the plans. And so you just trust that his plans is good. And it he has an ending for you.
Okay, so for this week's accountability challenge, let's prioritize studying the Word. What is one intentional change you can make this week to strengthen your commitment to daily time in the Word? It could be getting up a little earlier, creating a set time and space for your study, turning off your phone during your quiet time, or partnering with someone to check in weekly. What will you commit to starting now to support your spiritual discipline and deepen your walk? Name it, write it down, then follow through.
Stay accountable by visiting howigrewtoday.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter for weekly journal prompts delivered every Sunday, along with reflections and spiritual prescriptions shared every week.